And opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Common Love Bank, Doctors Hospital, Epic Battery, Nassau Cruise Port, Pender Tau, Prince Masters, Ron's Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
The Foundation. The Foundation. Foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon out here in the land of the living, January 28th, 2025. If you're celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you. We got a great deal of things set to be able to have a good conversation. I think we've actually been spilling into that. And I think that we're all primed up to really talk about the course of national development in this country. So I just want to be able to do that and kind of introduce my guests. But before I do that, I got to shout out my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. Got everything laid out for you. Make sure you go and check them out. You are in the space now. We are entering the zone where you need your insurance. And I know there's a lot of conversations happening. We're going to try to get Ethric Bowen here to talk about insurance and how that's going to look. But get yourself prepared. Go down there and check them out. They are located number 407 Blue Hill Road South. Go check them out. Get yourself prepared. Whether or not you're looking for something commercial, residential, looking for something for your car, they can be able to assist you with a great deal of things. Give them a call, 341-1-AFS. That's 341-1-AFS. They can take very good care of you in those particular areas and ensure that you're comfortable and taken care of as best as possible. Also got to shout out my good, decent people over at Da Vinci Printing and Innovators. They got everything laid out for you as it relates to being able to ensure that, you know, you put some things aside, you have set your vision board, sort of goals and aspirations. You want to be able to get that book out. You're looking for somebody to be able to do some printing. You got some business that you want to do. You've had this thing sitting in the cloud for some time, but you want to see the tangibility of it and touch it. So you need a hard copy for those particular things. I always say go down to my good, decent people over at Da Vinci's Printing and Innovators. They can take good care of you. They're located on Burnett Road right there, Village Road, Burnett Road, Soldier Road, right there at the intersection right there on the side of the bank. And they can take very good care of you. 677-2922. Even if you're in a kind of a space that you just need trinkets and something really nice, kind of a like a stocking stuffer, something that you want to be able to give someone you didn't want to go with your hand swinging, go down there and check out Da Vinci Printing and Innovators. They can be able to take very good care of you and bring that thing to life that you have going on, all right? 677-2922, 677-2922. Well, guys, like I said, make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. All the information's in there. Family grieves, mother shot dead. Young woman traveled to Nassau to give birth. There were conflicting stories to indicate that she was pregnant. But it seems as though she had given birth. The baby was a few days old. And that's such a sad story. That's such a sad story. We've got to be able to talk about that and dive deeper into that. But pick up a Guardian newspaper and see exactly what Bahamas must be mindful of Trump energy policy, says the minister. And also the FNM deputy hits out at the government's spend on consultants. National Heroes Committee will accept nominations starting on February 1st. 2021. That's all your headlines in the papers. Last week, we started this kind of a conversation. Last week, we had a conversation about what's happening in the country. And a little time before that, we've been able to see some things spill out. The posture that the TUC has taken, indicating that the government is wrong. Obi Ferguson, in his particular posture, it seems as though he's scorching earth. as it relates to the government not being able to adhere to the memorandum of understanding that they signed off, not with the government of the Bahamas, but with the royal opposition and the PLP in more instances back in 2021. And being able to hold him to that and hold him to the fact that a great deal of things weren't done, or they're still waiting a great deal of things to be done as it relates to the memorandum of understanding. We had a very good conversation with Belinda Wilson, being able to call into us, give us clarity and background to that. And she made a commitment that she's going to be able to sit with us and dive deeper into that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to someone who sat with me on all my platforms, and I'm always grateful to be able to have her in the studio with us, being able to bring clarity and passion to these particular situations so we can be able to see a true resolve. None other than the president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers, Belinda Wilson. My dear, it is wonderful to have you in the studio. Say good afternoon to the people out there.
Good afternoon, Howard, and good afternoon, Bahamas, and it's my pleasure to be here with you today.
Absolutely, man. I'm so happy that you was able to make it and being able to sit here in person with us and being able to have this kind of a conversation. Talk to me about this. Talk to me about, and I want to dive right into it because I know our time is going to be short, but talk to me about this. This memorandum of understanding that was signed off in 2021. Mum's the word a great deal of time. We saw that you in your capacity as president kind of shied away from it when a lot of persons were gravitating towards it. The spectators publicly were indifferent with it because we understood that this should not be affiliated with a political organization. Why not stand in your position as a union and move in those particular instances? Now, fast forward 3 years and some, as we tiptoe towards election, it seems as though the cycle has returned. Talk to me about that.
Okay, first of all, let me make it clear that there were about seven unions that opposed not the memorandum of understanding, but the manner in which it was signed on our behalf. At that time, we were affiliates of the National Congress of Trade Unions, Bahamas. Bernard Evans was our president at the time. We never saw the memorandum of understanding. Mm-hmm. It was never discussed with the affiliates and the unions under that umbrella. And we actually saw the signing of this agreement on television the way that
Joe, the same time all of us saw.
The way that Joe Public saw it. So that was our issue, mm-hmm. our main issue. The second thing was that it was signed 3 weeks prior to a general election with the opposition and with union leaders, and in particular, who's representing the Congress that we were under, stating that just about, you have our votes. So,
because that was the perception, by the way.
Yeah, no, it was uttered. You look out for me, we look out for you.
That's crazy.
That means
how a man drag me in that if I was a member.
So right, so BUT, the hotel union, the Bahamas Financial Services Union, AAAW, at the time, we looked the BPSU, we looked at this and we said no, this has not been done in the proper manner, and we sent out a press release stating we are not against a memorandum of understanding and the benefits therein, but the manner in which it was done, we had an issue with our president, Mr. Bernard Evans. And what also had us disturbed is that around that same time, Mr. Evans was flying around with the then opposition leader, who's the now prime minister, to Andros and other places campaigning. That is not our role as trade union leaders. We lead persons from every party. And it's up to that individual to decide whom he or she or which party they want to vote for. That's their democratic right. So you don't compromise my union and other unions with whatever your agenda is, it is unfair.
It seems
it is unscrupulous, and we did agree with the manner in which it was done.
It seems as though that they leveraged their position and the support that they had from the union and being able to get to whatever this desire was, like you indicated. Because all of us watched this. All of us watched, whether it was Obi Ferguson in his particular capacity or whether it was Bernard Evans, we watched the close affiliation during this particular time. And one, we knew that the government of the day was gone. But two, we didn't understand the affiliation. Why would you compromise your representation at this particular time? Despite what's happening in the country, you have a sovereign right and a responsibility to these people who support you and put you in this position. Why affiliate like this?
And because of our responsibility as union leaders in our particular unions, we had to come out and speak. Because your members are saying, hold on, what's going on here? Isn't that the umbrella organization that we are affiliated with? So why are they signing a document with the opposition and pledging our support and votes to them?
And nobody come to me and ask me, say nothing to me.
Yeah. It's out of order. Mm-hmm. And so that was our issue. We never said that when we did get a copy of the Memorandum of Understanding and we looked at it, then we knew, yes, what is in there, if it's followed, will definitely be beneficial not only to the trade union movement, but to the country at large.
But when did you get this document?
Well, actually, I never got the document from Bernard Evans. I never got it from Bernard Evans. Someone else from the other Congress sent... I might have gotten it later on in 2021, or it may have been 2022, but we never received the document from our leader at the time. Mm-hmm. Never.
Was there an explanation that Mr. Evans provided to indicate why he did these things? Did you have a sit down with him and
not,
say, hey, listen?
Not yet.
Up to this time?
Not yet. But that's why we've created a new Congress in May of 2022. And I now have, there are now 9 unions and associations that I lead under the Bahamas National Alliance Trade Union Congress. And 7 of us came from the NCTUB.
Now, talk to me about this. Talk to me about, like you said, you read over it. You saw those particular things. I've only been able to see little snippets here and there. I haven't seen the entire document, right? But I want to talk about the benefits, right? Now, I know that you've done an analysis, you've done a SWOT analysis, some of the strengths that it is and it provides, some of the opportunities that it could do, but then I know you know that there's weaknesses in there also that you can be able to speak to. Talk to me about the overall concept of what this Memorandum of Understanding meant for the Bahamas and for the unions during that time.
Okay, so the overall concept, it speaks to a workers' agenda for 2021.
Okay.
And so the number one is workers' representatives must be included in decision-making process of the national policies and be included in all heads of agreement, negotiators, foreign and domestic. So if we speak about, let's say, the foreign investors, this here would directly impact the Bahamas Hotel Catering and Allied Workers Union, let's say for heads of agreements, where you would have a new hotel that's being built or a resort that's being built. It's not limited to that because the government does enter into heads of agreement in other industries. So to our knowledge, up to this morning, no workers' representatives have been included in any heads of agreement negotiations with investors domestically or foreign.
Okay.
To our knowledge.
Okay.
And so that's our Congress.
Okay.
It says workers' representatives must be a part of the immigration approval process. And it has in parentheses work permits as it relates to respective industries within 100 days of the new administration coming into office. So I guess 100 days has not yet arrived because none of the organizations that fall within the remit of the Bahamas National Alliance Trade Union Congress has been a part of any immigration approval process, and as I said in parentheses, work permits. It says workers' representatives must be a part of the tourism industry negotiations with particular emphasis on the cruise industry. I will say again, and I stand to be corrected if someone can call and say, yes, it's happened. So I state that I am not aware. And we have our Congress meetings monthly. So we meet twice per month. We have our executive board meeting and we have our central council meeting. So at those meetings, the presidents of the various unions and associations and or their representative would give us updates on what's happening in their various unions. So we're not aware of that. Qualified workers' representatives to be certified as justices of the peace. Now, I must say that that has happened because there are about three persons from BNATUC that has received justices of the peace, and I want to set the record straight. Belinda Wilson was sworn in on International Women's Day on March the 8th, 2024, as a justice of the peace. However, I applied for justice of the peace from 2020, and prior to that, and I also did the justice of the peace course, so mm-hmm. I have a certificate. Mm-hmm. So it's a low-hanging fruit that has been done, and it is a part of the Memorandum of Understanding, but I just want the record to be clear that I
why is this a necessity to be highlighted in a negotiation or in a worker's agenda? Why do you need to be qualified as a justice of the peace?
Well, I don't know why it was placed in here, because remember I said we never saw the document.
Yeah, previously. I can see like individually.
So probably in the discussions, we may have said to them, I don't think that is a priority, because the justice of the peace appointment is personal to an individual.
That's what I'm saying. It's an individual
thing. It's personal to an individual. Yeah. Now, what it can do, though, is for us, if we were a part of, let's go back to the immigration approval process,
yeah,
then our knowledge as justices of the peace can assist us with looking at the affidavits and documents that may be produced for the immigration process. Now, I don't think that they were thinking that. I think they were thinking, child, give me something.
Yeah.
So give me one JP. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the other is government's commitment to cause the resumption within 100 days. The negotiations between the Bahamas Hotel Maintenance and Allied Workers Union and Sandals Royal Bahamian Hotel and Spa, in accordance with the recognition agreement between the parties, as well as negotiations and execution of all industrial agreements in government and quasi-government organizations. So when you look at the Bahamas Hotel Maintenance and Allied Workers and Sandals, that will fall under the remit of the TUCB. Mm-hmm. But then when you come further down and it speaks to the negotiations an execution of all industrial agreements in the government and quasi-government organizations, that would include the BUT, the BPSU, the hotel union, financial services, the other unions. Now, this leaves a lot to be desired because...
I want to talk about that.
You almost have to run down the consultants that are getting our taxpayers' money to negotiate with us. You almost have to run them down to get to the table. What also happens too is when you get to the table, they seem to be powerless. So they're being paid to negotiate an agreement, and well, the common articles they can agree. But when you get to the brass tacks and the complex, we have to go back to them. So my question is always, well, why did they send yours?
In the first place.
They should just come themselves. Because if someone deputized you, if you're being paid thousands of dollars, my taxpayers' money, to be a consultant, then they must give you some level of authority, even in the financial portion. They should be able to say to you, okay, this is as far as you can go, or this is the range that you can agree.
Yeah.
But when there's a
But this is what you present at the beginning of the conversation. Hey, listen, this is what I have empowerment to be able to do. Let's get to these negotiations now. In the event that we start to spill in these areas, we're going to have to go back and get someone to do this for you.
Yeah, but I'm telling you,
they didn't do none of that.
The negotiations take well over a year. And in my view, it can be done in about 3 to 6 months. Because you sometimes you do have some articles where the employer is not letting up and the union is not letting up and you have to do some more drilling down. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that we note, and I said it to the Minister of Labor, listen, who don't know the law, who don't know the industrial agreement, who don't know the acts, and who lost. Send some people who know what they're doing, what they're talking about, who has some sort of idea of what the expertise are of educators, how the system operates, because it's almost like you're teaching them as you're trying to negotiate. And I mean, everyone learns. I mean, I learn every day. Mm-hmm. But we should not have to teach from scratch because you don't even understand the composition of which island or key a school is on, that they have to catch a plane, catch a ferry, to just do
banking. So they come in blind. Yeah, they don't know nothing.
Very blind. Oh, Jesus. Very blind.
But I want to know about this. You said the government's commitment to resume within 100 days for sandals. Talk to me about that general concept and the issue that existed and why there needed to be a resumption for this particular thing. Talk to me about what's happened during this time.
I can't talk about sandals because that's under another Congress.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember, though. It was years back.
Yes.
Yeah, when the sandals persons were
fire
on the street and persons were terminated, etc. Yes. So I think
that closed the hotel down.
Yeah, that's emanated from that. So the other man needs to come to talk to you about that. I wouldn't even call his name.
Okay, please.
Moving
Jesus.
Right along.
Go ahead.
So the government was to establish and amend and enforce the following laws. So it's supposed to be an amendment and enforcement of the laws. Definition of wages should include wages. They were to look at the Employment Act, Section 5. They were to amend Section 9.2. Section 26. They were to amend Section 26B. They were to amend Section 29, Section 42, Section 46 and 7 of the Employment Act. Now, let me say that July 29th, 30th and 31st of 2024, there was a labor symposium that was held at Holy Trinity under the Ministry of Labor and the Public Service. So there were a number of unions there. All of the unions would have been represented. We had some of the persons from the Ministry of the Public Service. We had persons from the National Insurance Board. The Chamber of Commerce, we had the president of the Bar Association, Casey Khalil Parker, present. So there was definitely across the board, there was a good grouping of it, offer amendments to general orders, to the Employment Act, to the public service regulations, and various other laws and policy documents. However,
did it hit any of the specifics that was supposed to do in terms of the Employment Act, the wages, so forth, and so forth?
We looked at the Employment Act, and what was also good is each of the stakeholders had an opportunity to present for 20 minutes on each of the various legislations and policies. So a white paper was created, drafted from the information that we garnered over those 3 days. That was July. To date, we have not seen the white paper. And I would have expressed to Minister Pia Glover-Rowe in our quarterly meeting December, last month, that there should have been a green paper first, before the white paper. Because the white paper, to my understanding, has been forwarded to cabinet, or is on its way to cabinet. But as I told her, our view from the Bahamas National Alliance Trade Union Congress is yes, the various stakeholders gave recommendations and observations, but a green paper should have come back to us. We should have met maybe in a smaller group to go through the green paper to make sure that what was put in the white paper is representative of what it is that the spirit of what it is that we've said in each of those amendments. Mm-hmm. We also know too that even when you do the policy changes, you need regulations for the policies. And then some of these items may also definitely will call for funding. It will call for even changes in our existing industrial agreements. So the work that we did in July, in my view, was just the first step, because mm-hmm. there's so much more to do in order to ensure that these amendments are satisfactorily done for both sides.
Was there any suggestion that they would be able to get back to this in terms of your quarterly meeting?
No. They said that the white paper is prepared, but we've not seen.
So you haven't even looked at it to say...
We've not seen the white paper with the compilation of everything. Because, come on, you got Chamber, who's representing employers.
Yeah.
You have the unions, we represent the employees. Mm-hmm. You have the public service persons who were there. So they're representing the government. They would be the ones that would have been responsible for some of the policies that we amended.
Yeah.
So further discussion definitely would have been needed after you've compiled the document, but we've not yet seen the white paper.
Okay.
So we're definitely looking forward to another meeting or session to go through the white paper. It also speaks to the strengthening of the industrial tribunal to enforce rulings. And as a matter of policy, its rulings should not be appealed by the government. And so again, you would note that there is an industrial tribunal bill. So not sure where that bill is now at this time, but the industrial tribunal, as it stands now, they're unable to enforce their own ruling. So let's say you go to the industrial tribunal and you are successful. Say your employer must pay you $100 that he owes you. The employer could not pay that to you, and the tribunal cannot enforce that ruling. You would have to go to the court of appeal in order to get that $100 paid to you. So we're definitely in agreement that the industrial tribunal, as an arm of the Supreme Court, should be able to enforce its own ruling. But what we strongly stand by is that us as union leaders, and sometimes as trade union advocates.
Is this by design, though? Is this by design, though, Belinda? Because think about it. Now, if I was wrongfully let go from the hotel, let's use the hotel, right? And they didn't pay me my vacation, they didn't pay me this, they didn't pay me that, they wrongfully let me go. I get a lawyer, we sue them, we go to the industrial tribunal. They say, okay, you got to be able to pay Howard Grant $125,000, boom, 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 for the duration of time that he's working here, just hypothetically, right? And now we've already gotten that act and we've identified that there's success. I got to go back the court again.
If your employer
don't pay
does
me.
Not comply.
And he don't have to pay me
the ruling, and he does not have to comply with the ruling because the Industrial Tribunal can
that can frustrate my guts out.
It's Linda. Ruling.
That can frustrate me.
And so we do support them being strengthened. And what we advocated for and what we've expressed in our various meetings with the National Tripartite Council and the Minister of Labor and others is that trade union leaders and advocates are still able to represent persons in the Industrial Tribunal because we represent persons in the tribunal for free.
Mm-hmm.
We're not lawyers, but we're able to go into the tribunal and represent individuals. And that's a platform that we can use to advocate for persons' rights. So we don't want them to make it so stringent that only a legal a lawyer, who's someone who's called to the bar, can actually represent.
So this would have been language that you incorporated in this
so
in terms of being able
to do so that. It will remain that we will be able to represent
and no make modifications
persons,
to them.
Yeah, okay. We ask them to leave that.
Let me take this quick break, Belinda. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this, what's in the Memorandum of Understanding. Guys, I hope that you're here. On the second hour, we're going to open up the telephone lines to have this kind of a conversation if you want to be able to do that. We're sitting here with none other than Belinda Wilson, president of the BUT, to talk to us about what's happening with the Memorandum of Understanding, just the course of these particular things, and just get clarity of what our expectations can be as we continue to be able to go forward. Quick break, gonna be right back after this.
This is a Lampkin. Besides carrying all the roofing material needed to cover East End, Enterprises also has all the equipment needed to put it together and to protect your workers. At Enterprises, we got hand tools, power and manual, including hacksaws, hammers, mauls, wrecking bars, well, hopefully they won't need them yet, drill bits, tapes, plumb bobs, levels, and more. We got cement, concrete bonding fiber, lime, sand, and P-Rock. We got dust masks, safety glasses, gloves, hard hats, and high visibility vests. Lampkin, what we got here at Enterprises is a one-stop shop for builders.
Are you craving that fresh, famous food, but don't want to break the bank? Wendy's has got you covered. You can now enjoy the $5 Dave's deal at all participating Wendy's locations. Enjoy a Dave's single, a classic, or spicy chicken sandwich with fresh ingredients for just $5. So don't compromise on flavor just because you're on a budget. Wendy's always offers fresh, famous food at a great price. Certain conditions apply.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Beulah from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326 Epic. We ship also to the Family Island.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company. We are having a good conversation about the unions and its position. I think it's important that we talk about this. A lot of persons may be indifferent about that. You don't understand the necessity of why the unions exist and the preservation or the protection of rights, workers' rights, so forth and so on. You don't necessarily understand. You don't understand how these things go, or you hear these particular union persons, you only hear them as far as you're concerned, you put them in your mind for rowing, but you don't understand that these things are set up, that we people don't run rumshod over us, that internal or external entities don't come into the country and we lose our rights. Our rights are eroded, that we can still be able to stand strong as workers, as individuals. principles, the pride of what we have as a nation, and continue to be able to work forth and not be slaved. We have to govern these particular spaces. We're sitting here with none other than Belinda Wilson being able to talk to us about these things. Now, she's gone through the workers' agenda. She talked to us about inclusion. She talked about the immigration approval. She talked to us about the tourism industry negotiation and how they were supposed to be able to fortify those things. Some of these things were done. Some of these things weren't done. She talked about the union reps qualified as justice of the peace and the government commitment to resume the 100 days after for the sandals issues, that we're going to be able to get more information about that. And then also about the amendments of the laws, being able to talk about wages, the Employee Act, so forth and so on, and really strengthening the industrial tribunal or the industrial tribunal bill and preparing ourselves for that. So, Belinda, this is what you've said to us so far, right? Yes. These are the things that have been laid out so far. Now, we're following you dead good, right? And we want to understand, this looks good on one hand, but like you said, it ain't really about the fact that the memorandum of understanding was not structured in a way that it was supposed to be able to assist with the movement of the unions, but the way in which it was done, the manner in which it was done.
We took exception to.
You took exception mm-hmm. to that. So talk to us about the next division of these particular things.
Okay, we always talk about the International Labor Organization, and they, every year, May, June, we have a delegation that goes to the ILO. The ILO conventions are signed. So the government of the Bahamas has been signing conventions in the ILO from its inception. But ILO's ILO Convention 29, 87, 98, 100, 105, 111, 138, 182. These different conventions were signed on by the Bahamas government as early as 1976 up to 2001. But for example, the Convention 87 speaks to freedom of association and protection of the right to organize. Mm-hmm. So we signed on the 14th of June, 2001. Now, yes, it is in force that we do have freedom of association and the protection to organize. However, the Industrial Relations Act was never amended to reflect Convention 87. So the Industrial Relations Act speaks to you being in the union of your craft. But this speaks to you being in the union of your choice. So, yes, it's in force. Yes, we signed off, it was ratified by the Bahamas government, but when they returned, there was no change in the law. So, we are still expecting for
some... 2001, 24 years ago?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And they still haven't made any modifications to this?
Shucks, we, yeah. So the Industrial Relations Act has not been amended to reflect what Convention 87 seeks to achieve. We can go on?
Easy.
We can go on? Okay, now this one here, and I'm not carrying any water for Brother Freddie Bunnings, but this one here, Brother Freddie Bunnings always speaks to. So this is the establishment and implementation of a cultural heritage, art, and entertainment encouragement act, similar to the Hotel Encouragement Act. So he would have to say if he's aware of any movement on that. The establishment and implementation of a National Pension Act, whereby pension boards should be represented by all parties equally.
Okay, now, so Freddie Manning, you say the establishment and implementation of
the cultural heritage, art, and entertainment. Cultural heritage, okay. Art, and entertainment encouragement act. So, you know, that would be for the orange economy.
Yes.
And you have your singers, your dancers, your creatives, your writers, your creatives. That would be similar to the Hotel Encouragement Act. So I'm, to my knowledge, I don't know that
there has been a lot of conversation, including in the Blueprint for Change, about this sort of an idea, and including the FNM, whatever their manifesto that they actually put out. They started to talk about the orange economy, the blue economy, and all these particular things that they're going to ascend towards, the inclusion of technology, so forth and so on. But we have not seen them take the time out to be able to do these particular things. And so this here to me screams or subtly pulls out a sector of behemianization.
Yes.
The concept of behemianization.
And it can't just be a sentence on a paper.
No.
Because this here calls for capital. It calls for a strategic plan, your action plan, a business plan, identifying who will take the lead in these various cultural and entertainment sector, etc. Let's roll it on. Okay, the establishment and implementation of a National Pensions Act. Now, I know that we were called to a meeting, and there were several of us, the unions there, for the Pensions Bill of 2023. So we were called to a meeting on February the 28th, 2024. That meeting was with FS Simon Wilson. That was after we had the powwow. Then we sat and we had a 2.5-hour meeting, the unions. After that meeting on February the 28th, I wrote to the Prime Minister, copied Simon Wilson, copied the Permanent Secretary and others, our observations, our recommendations for the Pensions Bill of 2023. Today, January the 28th, 2025, we are still awaiting a response and actually a date, time, and venue for further discussions on the Pensions Bill of 2023. So I'm saying that the Memorandum of Understanding speaks to a National Pensions Act, and the of 2023 speaks to where new persons coming into the government will make a contribution toward their pension. It speaks to the quasi-government corporations, all of the funding being merged into one pot. So we strongly said to the Prime Minister in writing and to FS Simon Wilson in the meeting that there must be further discussions on this Pensions Bill of 2023 prior to them taking it to the House of Assembly. So we're waiting, still waiting, like from last year, for a follow-up meeting for the Pensions Bill of 2023. And I just want to remind the government that the Pensions Bill of 2023 and what it seeks to do is will change the terms and conditions of service for our members. So any changes or amendments to the terms and conditions of service for our members must be discussed with us. There must be social dialogue. There must be consultation. And we're not talking about a meeting just to say, oh, we met with the unions. We're talking about meaningful discussions and our observations and recommendations being taken into consideration and reflected in the amendments to the act.
Well, I want to find out more about these things, guys. On the other side, we're going to be able to dive deeper into these conversations. If you have any questions or concerns, we'd love you to kind of call in with us. Let me give you the numbers now. 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, anywhere from the Family Violence, 242-300-5720, or you can hit us up, 422-4796. Going to get a quick break, get to news. When we get back, we're sitting with none other than Belinda Wilson right here in studio as we talk union issues and the way forward. Quick break, going to be right back after this. Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Everything is bigger and better at Burger King Nassau. When you have a big appetite, BK has a royal deal for you. Get a flame-grilled double Big King Jr. or an original chicken sandwich, plus four chicken nuggets, small fries, a drink, and a fresh baked cookie for only $9.95, including VAT. The royal deal was built for a big appetite. And at $9.95, including VAT, it's a steal of a deal. Go big and enjoy the BK flavors you love with the $9.95 royal deal at Burger King Nassau.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, the foundation, live and in full effect on this beautiful Tuesday, January 28th. Have a good conversation. We're talking union. We're talking the memorandum of understanding that a lot of us don't necessarily understand. We don't know what in the world was in that thing. We know that it was signed off on. We know that for the most part, we didn't hear Obi Ferguson for years. Until now, we see Earth being scorched. And then I asked Belinda the last time we had a conversation, I said, Belinda, hold on, is this the exact same thing, the same concept that we saw the last election and the election before that, that you've taken the strength of the union and threatened the government of the day to say that this is what we want and some things happening like this? So we're going to have a good conversation. In the studio with me is none other than the president of the BUT, Belinda Wilson, being able to talk to us and breaking down the memorandum of understanding. Maybe we didn't understand, but today we understand the elements. And like she said, she started it off and she made good sense. She said, we don't oppose this, the layout of it. We don't oppose the language. We don't oppose the workers' agenda. We don't oppose the inclusion, the immigration inclusion. We don't oppose any of these things, but we oppose the manner and the approach in which this thing was done. And even if you get to the depth and detail and understanding the affiliation, the proximity of the presidents of these particular offshoots of the unions and what they were doing at this time, it costs you to look at this with jaundiced eyes. Alan, what's going on here? What is going on here? Why are you leveraging the strength of a body of people who have no political affiliation, not collectively, no political affiliation? We're not talking about their individual position. We have not presented ourselves as FNM or PLP. Why would you take our strength and levy that to a particular political organization? We're sitting here with Belinda Wilson. Belinda, talk to us. I know that you got a couple more.
Let me go a little quickly with some of the others.
You got a couple more. Go ahead.
So, establishment of a redundancy fund act, the reactivating of the National Development Plan, the full implementation of the National Health Insurance System, establish and implement a legal aid act, the enforcement of the consumer legislation to enhance consumer protection, establishment of a minimum wage of $300 per week, increasing funding for the effective management of the National Tripartite Council, the designation of the House of Labor as a historical monument within 100 days, the allocation of crown land to the labor movement, quality meetings with the government and labor to discuss labor and other related matters.
Like these things.
Government to allow joint ventures between local and foreign unions with regards to outsourcing and privatization exercises and large development projects to assist in the further development of our country. Establishment of a committee comprising of workers' representatives to address assessment, training, promotions, and succession planning. Establishment of committees comprising of workers' representatives from the healthcare system to address the following: workers' safety and pandemic crisis, hazard health insurance for health workers, and workers' representatives to be a part of all national, regional, and international delegations.
I like this, Belinda.
That's...
I don't oppose these things. I like these things. I like the Minimum Wage Act, which is seeking to be able to creep towards a livable wage, moving it from where it is to $300 and being able to do some things. These things sound good. But like you said, you don't necessarily oppose this concept.
No, we don't.
But the manner in which it was done is a peculiar approach. So talk to me about this.
So maybe the minimum wage, let me speak to that. It was increased. So it's 260 now instead of 210. Although the movement is asking for $300.
Right.
Dollars. There is a lot of movement on the living wage. I want to recognize that Shivago Lang and his team, the Bahamas, they have done a study already on the living wage. And we had him do a presentation to our Congress. We had a training session and we invited him, and he did a presentation on the living wage for our affiliates. We are, and I must say, the three Congresses, we are in working in collaboration now with the ILO. So we are now seeking to have a company or an individual who will do further research on the living wage. So the three of the Congresses, we've gotten together already. There's all proposals of interest have already been submitted. We will get together and choose the individual or the group that will get the contract. The ILO will be funding it and giving us the technical support.
This group or individual
for that work to be done.
This consultancy group or individual will be responsible for gathering information far and wide throughout the country to make a determination of how this living wage will look.
Yes, how you can implement it.
How to implement
it. If it's established and the sustainability of it, you know, that has to.
Sustainability is extremely important.
That has to also be addressed.
Yeah.
So we've been working also with the National Tripartite Council, which is an arm of the Ministry of Labor. So we've been working with them.
One thing I say about you, Belinda, you're always working. I might as well say this. And I ain't saying this because you're in the front of me.
The work never ends. It's so many aspects to our work.
But then the people don't know work. You're the only one out here doing actual work. People don't know work.
There's so many aspects
you sit here in the front of me right now, and as you dissect this, you have to take into consideration that there's a great deal of people who are elevated to certain positions in this country based upon proximity to politics, based upon proximity to relationships that give them access to these things that do not do the work. They just don't do the work, right? And so whilst we're having questions and asking, did anybody think about these things? Just as reporters, just as people who are working in media, being able to look at these things and assess it and say, no one actually read this. No one actually read this to apply this in any way.
And for this to be applied, there's so many moving parts. Like I said, some of these call for maybe even amendments to the Constitution. Definitely calls for amendments or policies. And you need the regulations to go with them. And the processes, who's going to be responsible for what? What is the timeline? Where's the budget? Where's the funding coming from? Which ministry is the funding coming from? Because some of these may cross over. Because when you talk about cultural heritage, you could very well say, okay, that's the Ministry of Youth and the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Culture. When you talk about tourism and I'm looking at heads of agreement, that's the Ministry of Tourism. When you're looking at Crown Land, that's in the office of the Prime Minister. So there's a lot of work to be done, and I believe the words were just put on paper, but delving into it and working to make sure that you have the documentation for the implementation and the success of what is in here, I don't think the work has been done.
But yeah, but even as you start to talk about these things, if there are persons who are empowered on behalf of the government to be able to negotiate on behalf of the government and haven't been given the autonomy, the power to make these particular decisions, let's say hypothetically for Crown Land. Now, if we decide to have a conversation about Crown Land based upon what's wrapped in this particular thing and we signed off on that, there should be a very clear understanding of where this Crown Land is, how we could be able to do those things and so forth and so on. Right off the top, I could tell you, they can say, hold on, this is above our pay grade. We can't talk about no Crown Land. But you hear, and you should have known what is in the MOU.
And when you speak about Crown Land too, the way I see it is, it's investment for, and don't look at it as just the unions. It's empowering the members. Because if you develop the land, then you're going to have to pay for the land to be clean. You have to pay for the buildings to go there.
It's business, yeah.
You have to pay for your licenses.
Yeah, yeah,
you got to pay the light, the water, the phone.
Yeah.
So it's investment, and it's money coming back into the economy. But what it is we prefer put JP for people to walk around and say, I'm a JP and beat their chest. Versus
people still just do that.
How you mean? Versus giving the Crown Land that will assist in developing your people and for sustainability for years to come.
I like how you keep these conversations technical, because there is a spirit that dives deeper into the complexity of our community. And I see that you don't want to touch that, but there's sort of an idea where let's use the Crown Land. Crown Land and the access of that is true empowerment. And the empowerment thereof is something that subconsciously, maybe is not pronounced, subconsciously, we have been denied for a very long time. We have been denied.
That's the reality.
Okay,
we have.
I'm trying to talk to you about.
We have been denied. And I believe it's deliberate.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Just for the BUT alone, we put in for Crown Land from 2008, three prime ministers have written to me. Three. The Honorable Perry Christie, the Honorable Hubert Minnis, and the Honorable Philip Davis. Three. And we put in for Crown Land for a housing project. And you know what was said to us? That they are doing housing and there's no need for housing project at this time from us. But then on the other hand, you have the Minister of Housing saying that they have 12,000 applications that they cannot find homes for.
They cannot fill.
This thing, which I explained in my writings to three prime ministers of about 350 members who want homes, and we would like to do about four homes thus far. But I say delayed, but not denied. Because you have 12,000 and I want to do 40, that's not even, like my daddy say, a drop in the bucket.
That isn't doing anything to
your program.
They see, oh, Jesus, Belinda, this is a strong conversation that you're having with me, because the truth is that a lot of things are seen through the lens and the prism of politics in this country.
Yes, that's the problem. Yeah. It's politics that has us where we are. And you just talk about work. Listen, I have people who never voted for me yet in the BUD, and it's my seventh time.
And they vote themselves.
They never vote for me.
But you still get them straight.
But if they call me today,
you got them.
I don't have no question to ask you why you don't vote for me. That's democracy. But I have a job to do, because the majority of the people voted for me, not to question you, but to perform my duties.
And that's what you got to do.
And so if politicians would stop looking at, oh, the next 5 years or my next vote, go work. Go do your duties. people will notice what you're doing.
But Lenny, this is a strong
conversation. And they will reward you.
That's a strong conversation. Let me take a telephone call. Callers, the lines are wide open, guys. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259, anywhere for the Family Violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hello, Howard.
Hi.
Good day.
How you doing?
Good day to Belinda Johnson.
Good day.
How you doing?
I'm good.
We know, and Howard, you got a real woman now.
Praise God.
From the time we were growing up, me and 52 and Michael Pintard and Belinda, she was always someone that was always active and true to what she do. She's a fellow Falconet from in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yes, sir.
You see? Yeah, you got there after I did, and you know we don't play. Belinda, everything that you're going through, don't worry about Snitch. Snitch know how you go. And he will, like you said, campaign for whoever it is he supports, and he should not be compromising the members. Howard, this woman is the true unionist, and ever since Thomas Bastian and them, because Belinda and I came out in 86 from the Flynn Hall, and Howard, I said it before, when I tried to unionize Cat Key, the state is still the same. It made no difference. So when y'all talk about the Crown Line, you need to just identify, do your research, identify where there is Crown Line, get it, verify that it is.
I like what you're saying. Yeah, but the government was supposed to, under the Minister administration, thank you so much for your telephone call. Under the Minister administration, they were supposed to be able to identify where the Crown Line was throughout the country. If you remember during this particular time, you would drive around Nassau, then you'd see a little sign go up and say this is government Crown Line, so forth and so on. They have not done anything with being able to provide us depth to say this is where the Crown Line is available. So I like what you say, and like bringing that to the forefront. The government has a responsibility of being able to do that.
Let me say something, though.
Go ahead.
With Crown Line. Because I do. We applied for Crown Line. We were taken out to the Crown Line area on Carmichael Road, and we were shown.
Gladstone Road or Carmichael?
Carmichael Road. And okay. We were shown where the 10 acres have been identified for the Bahamas Union of Teachers. And our file has sat now in three prime ministers'. On three prime ministers.
You just pass it? It's still empty? Anything on it yet?
Still empty.
Okay,
we're still watching.
Okay, good. Because, you know, some people putting some things up.
We still watching.
Praise God. Let me take a next telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Good afternoon. I just love this lady. I love you too, my brother.
I appreciate you, my brother. What's happening?
But I kind of wish I could instruct this little robot that I bought to find a way to put something up on the World Wide Web so that students can see her and really see how she comes prepared with her documentation. She can reference the Cultural Heritage Act. She can reference the fact that we have consultancies who are just being paid to buy time. She can reference just about anything that a prime minister should be able to reference. The only difference is she could deal with it, but he can't. Is there any way that we could swap places with him and her?
Sir, you're trying to get all us fired today.
I need to find a way to have her being seen by the students, not just the teachers, the students, to see the work that she's been doing through administrations and hitting up a brick wall. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I won't say something. I go on.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you so much for holding your mouth.
But
go ahead.
I just want to say, too, the work that I do for the teachers is by extension for the children.
Right.
Because you have a better school, you have equipment, you have tools. That helps the teachers to be able to impart their knowledge to the students.
Yeah. Let me take a next telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Brother Grant. How are you?
I'm good, ma'am. What's happening with you?
Okay, Ms. Wilson, how are you, ma'am?
I'm good, sir.
Good, ma'am. I told some people that you were coming on over the breakfast table this morning. I told them that you were coming on today on the show. I hope they're listening. They wanted me to ask you a question. We had an argument this morning that this is the quietest you have been with a minister of education in just 7 years.
Sir, did you come on this?
I don't know if it's because it's a woman. My brother.
No, I want him.
Did you come on this radio to hot dust? That's what you're looking for. You looking for Raul?
No, I'm talking sense.
Okay, now go ahead. Go ahead.
I wanted to answer because I have a next question for her.
Okay, so what has happened is, and I think a lot of people did not notice it, the director of education was moved.
The
director of education was moved. So a lot of times, the arguments that the ministers got into should really have been on the level of the director and the president. The new director, as recently as this morning, so we were back and forth this morning on WhatsApp on about four or five matters. She sent me a note a couple days ago stating that she's putting something together. She wants me to look at it so she can get a feedback from me.
So you like that? You like this kind of a cohesion?
But that is what is supposed to happen.
Madam, let me say, because I know you have more callers on. I've never met you in person, but I like how you, two things, conduct yourself. You hold to your point. When you have your point, you hold to your point. And number two, I am glad you never strayed into politics. I got to go on that.
You better go, because you always is pulling in there.
I never strayed. It ain't like they ain't calling.
They calling.
That's a discussion for another day.
Jesus, Melinda. Let me get the next telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
What's up, Anton?
Right there, Deacon. How are you doing?
But Anton, you need to stop. Everything good, man. What's up,
I'm all right, you know. Good afternoon, Madam President.
Good afternoon, Anton.
How are you doing?
I'm excellent.
Excellent. When you say day, who is the day now? Before I get into
you'll be surprised who the they are. So keep going.
The day sound like plural. It is sound like a one side day.
So, like, yeah, Howard, Madam President can't be with you dropping the little bits and
yes! But that's what she can do that.
Leaving it like that.
She can bring that
communication forth, man. To see if she's bringing the memorandum of understanding forth. She got to bring that information forth. But anyway, listening to the conversation, it's very interesting. I believe that even in the worst of circumstances, there's always a positive silver lining. If one is open, if one's heart and mind is pure, and if one is seeking to do things in the best interest of, right, the ones who are being represented, whether that's on the government side or whether that's on the union side. And that's what leads responsible parties to always come back to the table, right? And so before I get into what I want to say, I want to encourage the Davis-led administration to come back to the table with the president. Because at the end of the day, no one wins by leaving anyone out. No one wins by leaving anyone out. No man, no woman should ever be left behind. I know what that feels like from personal experience, mm-hmm. right? And I'm saying it publicly. No man, no woman should ever be left behind. Mm-hmm. And if you have people on the team who are prepared to leave people behind, get rid of them. Get rid of those no good people if they are prepared to leave people behind. Because at the end of the day, we are all behemoths. This is our country. And whatever happens in our country should be at the best interest and in the best interest for us all, mm-hmm. right? And so I preface what I want to say by expressing that. And that message is directly to my Prime Minister, the Honorable Philip Brave Davis, directly to you, sir, right? Because you are the CEO of this country, not anyone else. You have a board, but you are the CEO. And you are the Minister of Finance. And we are going down the trail of an election in under 2 years. And these kinds of things that are being discussed openly and honestly are what is weighing in, or what is weighing in, not only in this conversation, but in many other regards across this entire nation. And it's happening, whether you want to acknowledge it or not, whether certain people around you are acknowledging it to you or not. It is happening. Mm-hmm. And to a large degree, it may not be positive for us as a government when we have every opportunity as the government to be the change and to make the change and to repeat as a second term government, the first in 30 years. We have that opportunity.
Well, Anton, I won't talk about this tomorrow. You and I could dive deep in it. Ask a question, because, you know, 1:30 again for a break.
He ain't got no question. Let me answer what he's saying. Quickly, Anton, because I won't respond.
Okay, Madam President. So the final thing I wanted to add as it relates to Crown land in the country, and it's not just limited to Crown land, but it's really in relation to all national conversations. And I'm of the same mindset that I'm of the mindset and I'm of the thinking, I'm of the ilk of people who know how to develop, manufacture, produce guidelines, regulations, et cetera, et cetera. That's how blessed I am from God. That's the way he blessed me, right? And as it relates to Crown land in this country, I believe before we continue forward in the being that we have been over the last 50, 60, 70 years, 80 years in this country, where people were pillaging our land, where there was land grabs all over the place, we need to do a national assessment of the land availability in this country. We need to develop a national urban development plan so that we can determine for the next 50 to 100 years, what is going to go well? What is it going to take to encourage the further advancement and development of our country from family island to family island so that we don't make the same stupid, ignorant, dumb decision?
Yeah, but Anton, if they hadn't canceled and repealed these particular things, the former administrations had in place where they were supposed to give an account of all the Crown land available in the country. I hadn't seen the PLP come to the forefront and say anything.
I can't let you get away with that. The former administration had 4.5 years to get it done.
Well, they didn't do it. And we still need it done.
And that's why I'm speaking it today, right now.
But you say something. Anton, we got a row tomorrow. I can't even row you right now, I guess.
Let me just finish my point, Howard.
Go ahead.
I continue to repeat these same factors over the last 20 plus years in our country, because it's that important to the advancement of our country, to changing the status quo in our country, to breaking the back of status quo in our country. If we don't take this kind of approach, Howard, we're going to find ourselves caught up in the quagmire, hating on people and not getting anything done to the advancement of the country, the people, and the nation at the end of the day.
I like it.
I'm looking forward to have that boxing match tomorrow.
But we can talk tomorrow. All right. Got to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to let Belinda respond to what Anton put on the table just now. Quick break. Going to be right back after this.
The Foundation with Howard Grant will be back right after this.
The Foundation. You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Now let me see now, 326 EPIC. Hello, this Epic Eckert Battery. This Miss Bueller from around the corner. I hear y'all selling tires now on Wolf Road too.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
This is it! The big game is almost here! And the best place to watch it is at Nassau Cruise Port. Join us on Sunday, February the 9th for an unforgettable game day watch party. Huge screens, unbeatable food, and drink specials, and all the game day energy you can handle. Grab your friends, bring your game face, and score big with giveaways, drink discounts, and a chance to win exclusive prizes. Don't miss out on the action. Game day, Nassau Cruise Port, Sunday, February 9th, where every touchdown feels like a win. See you there.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect, talking with the best president of any union. I just want to be decent as I say this. She's my good friend. I got to be able to big her up like that. She's sitting here with me, none other than Belinda Wilson, talking to us about these things with a sense of transparency, really being able to talk about our responsibility in the position of power and authority to ensure that we get the business of the people done. I said today, two ways about this. We got to get the business of the people done. You've been elevated to a particular position. You want to be able to retain this position, but then they didn't tell you she'd been here 7 times. And it don't matter who come or who don't come. I can do everybody business. No, but not you. Not you. You sitting out there and trying to be able to say where your voter's card is. Go bring that. Let me hold on to that first before you decide to be able to do anything for me. Well, we're out here. The lines are wide open. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere for the family violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Go ahead, Belinda.
Let me answer, Anton. And y'all know that the last set of voice notes I sent out, I put the prime minister on. Tick, tick. I put him on notice.
Okay.
So let me say, though, that the prime minister finally responded to me on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And so I'm awaiting an update from him. Based on some letters that I sent to him, and I also sent him a letter yesterday,
mm-hmm.
because they said Belinda Wilson was a no-show at the meeting for the biweekly discussions. Mm-hmm. They were quite aware that I wrote them a letter prior to that date, letting them know that the date was not convenient for myself or Kimsley Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, they called a meeting, myself along with Kimsley Ferguson, and we took a few of our officers with us.
Mm-hmm.
And the meeting was with consultants. Now, I can say this, and I can say it clearly, like mm-hmm. I wrote to the Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want any meetings with the consultants from Oracle, because we met with them on December the 19th, 2023. At that meeting, after they did their presentation, we, and it was several unions there, we compiled a list of 26 questions that we are still awaiting the responses to.
From December 23.
From December the 19th, 2023, we had a meeting on the fifth floor of the Edwin Smiley building with the persons from Oracle and the Ministry of Finance. And it seems as though the government intends to push through their biweekly salary payments, and they're trying to...
But that's not what the minister said.
They're trying to circumvent the union.
The minister said that he's not going to shove down anybody's throat what they don't want. Well, they're in consultation with them now.
Well, last year I said the minister says that. The prime minister says something else. And the people in the Ministry of Finance does their own thing.
My God.
So I am again placing the prime minister.
What is the union's position on this?
First of all, our position is you invited us to a meeting. Mm-hmm. And you made a presentation to us. Mm-hmm. Coming out of that presentation, we have a number of questions.
26 of them.
We would like for those questions to be answered, which will give us a better understanding of the processes and the procedure and how the implementation is going to happen. It also gives us an opportunity for us to speak to our members. See, remember now, we have constituents too.
Yeah.
So my members have already voted 83% that they want their salary to remain
the same
monthly.
Yeah.
So I see where the minister...
I agree with this, by the way.
I see where the minister is touting that they sent out a survey. They could send a survey to hell and back. That has nothing to do with the Bahamas Union of Teachers, who has an industrial agreement which says what can and cannot be done. And they
But why didn't they send the survey to you one time? You got over 3,000 members.
No need to send. I already surveyed my members.
And 83%
of them. And
they said, keep my things the same.
I don't waste time, you know. I had a meeting with my members from last year, January the 6th, 2024.
Right after the December 19th
meeting. We had a December 19th meeting.
And then you go on in January.
On January the 6th.
We had a meeting.
We had a general membership meeting. I sent out my survey, whatever.
And from then to now, you still didn't get clarity.
On the questions.
The 26 questions.
And we've also taken them to the Labor Department. The first time they didn't show up. Not showing up to the Labor Department means that you should pay a $5,000 fine. I don't think they pay a dollar yet. Mm. They did show up the second time. They sent a lady who knew nothing. She worked in there, but she knew nothing about the project.
Okay.
She could not answer one question.
No, she didn't know nothing?
Nothing. And then they sent the permanent secretary, who came with an attitude and how she have another meeting to go to, and fine. Y'all could pontificate as much as you like. I have almost 3,000 members. The members who answered the survey, 83% of them said they want their salaries to remain
the
monthly.
Same.
That is not just my say. It's in our industrial agreement, and it's in the Industrial Relations Act. So if y'all want to change the way that they are paid, you could go around, like I say, go to hell and come back. You can survey the entire world. But Belinda Wilson speaks for
But why do you think the government is so adamant about this? What is the benefit from a governmental standpoint to be able to do this? Are they trying to break the monotony of this kind of a bulk that they have to send out on a month-to-month basis?
But okay, they need to explain that to us. We don't know. That's
this is a part of the 26 questions.
That's part of the questions.
Yeah, well, why do you want to do this?
Why you want to do it? Okay. And not only that, you want to do it when you got hell paying us monthly.
You know you're going to have hell paying weekly, every other week.
Monthly. You have persons not paid. Incorrect, sir.
And they ain't paying your back pay yet.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started.
Why don't you pay us the overtime first before we can get into this conversation?
Don't get me started.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you talking about money is owed. Then the financial secretary, Simon Wilson, sends out a memo. January the 3rd, 2025, stating that no one that's owed more than 5 years, greater than 5 years,
can receive those monies.
Will receive any salary adjustment or promotion payments. And I wrote the prime minister on that too. He say he checking on it. Well, are you checking on it? And Simon Wilson wake out of your office and you're the minister of finance and you don't know what he's sending out? Well, I could tell them they touch, but we only just make 5 cents. So they touch 1 cent.
That's a lot, by the way.
Of the teacher's salary. He who don't hear will feel. And then the Prime Minister say he want the unions to be responsible. Man, I've been so responsible lately. Because we really could shut down the country.
Yeah.
I got the hotel union,
yeah.
The public service union,
yeah.
The BUT, the financial services. We got the armed forces. We got the taxi and delivery. We got the taxi and delivery, so we could block up the airport. We could block up the airport.
Block up the bridge.
Don't block the bridge.
Everything.
Don't make no bed, no read, no write, no banking. Prime Minister, my, you getting away.
Belinda.
You getting away easy.
Belinda.
You getting away easy.
And you just trying to be decent.
I have been decent and nicer and very respectful.
Demure. I like this.
But the time is running out. Tick tock.
Let me take the next telephone call. Caller, let me take this one call and then I get into a break. Caller, go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Next call. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, good day, Howard.
Hey, what's up, baby? What's happening?
Listen, next to Queen Elizabeth, there goes Belinda Wilson.
Right away.
Listen, I so love this woman.
Right away.
You know, I was throwing a little jest there at Anton because he's using the platform. Hi, Anton. This Pearly L. I want to say this to Anton because he's using the radio platform now these days to plead to his government, which I applaud him for doing because he's letting them know where they are going wrong. And if they're not listening, Anton, as high as you can get them to second and third.
But they're listening to Anton.
To me. Oh. And wave it, Anton. Wave it. I can feel it.
They're listening to Anton. They're not going to listen to Anton. The chairman.
The chairman already came out.
The chairman of the PLP has already come out and said, all aboard, everyone speak with one language. Stop calling the people radio station and saying anything contrary. If you have an issue, deal with that issue internally. Anton getting out, another person's getting out saying anything contrary. They ain't hearing that.
Listen, that message he sent out just now to the right honorable Brave Davis, like he said, and in my view, that also went to the Deputy Prime Minister, Jobette Kubilius. I mean, I'm Chester Cooper, my bad. So you know I'm going
Jesus,
to
Jesus, you need to stop. You need to come off these people radio, okay?
Miss Belinda,
yes,
with the crown line issue. The way I see it, if those crown line, they don't want to touch them because they have these developers. I don't want to call no name. We all know who it is, who have eyes on certain things. And until they say this, they need no more, that's when the rest of the Crown Line is going to be available.
My God.
What you want to do for the teachers' union and for, I guess, others eventually moving along, I think that is a great idea because I know your rates would be far better than what they are getting today, and they will be able to afford it on, like you said, at 5 cents that they are making. And they will feel so stressed up with their BEC mortgage along with their house mortgage.
I like this. I like your conversation, baby. But you said to me, now, if the developers come in and take all the choice crown land, we only can be left with the devil toe again. My God.
We can step. This keep is pushing, too much. Though. We got to keep pushing.
This is too much. Going to take this quick commercial break, and then we're going to wrap up when we get back after this.
Foundation. The foundation.
We'll be back right after this.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
On Saturday, February 22nd, 2025 at 7 p.m., the Bahamar Convention Center will set the stage for an unforgettable celebration of 25 years of giving back and supporting healthcare education in the Bahamas. Experience a night of excitement with exquisite fine dining, captivating live entertainment, and an inspiring atmosphere as we come together to celebrate and shape a brighter, healthier future. Tickets are available now. Reserve your spot today by emailing dhfoundation@doctorshearts.com or calling 242-302-4640. Sponsorship opportunities are also available to show your support for this important cause. The Doctors Hospital Meyer Rassen Foundation. 25 years of transforming healthcare and building a legacy. Don't miss this special celebration.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Quick couple of minutes. I got to be able to do that and allow Belinda to be able to wrap up on these things. I'm going to get to these last few telephone calls and read these texts and then let her wrap up. Call on the line. Go ahead real quick.
Hey, good afternoon, Howard.
Good afternoon. How you doing, my brother?
All is well. It's all well. Well, I just, you know, once I hear this lady's voice on the phone, I have to find my way to try to call to let the Bahamas know, you know, that y'all meeting... You're meeting a woman who was born to be a leader. You know,
praise
some people came up to be a leader and you know, some was even created. But this lady right here, she was born to be a leader. Linda, I know you remember me, just a childhood friend. But you know, I just have to encourage you.
Yes.
Because
thank you.
At the end of the day, your task is not easy. But, you know, there's glory days ahead for you, so you just stay encouraged and keep doing what you're doing. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, my brother.
Do appreciate your telephone call. Last telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Hello, Howard.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm calling back because I want Belinda to get my number from your
producer.
Also with Belinda.
Yes.
You know the name Danny Tonkinson, right?
Yes.
That's my sister. That was my sister.
Yes, I know.
Your nephew, godmother, who ran Atlanta.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to call, and then the situation what I was saying about the Crown land, you and your members verify that the land is Crown. Do your own investigation.
Yeah.
Don't let them just promise you because they just kill time and you realize that you're writing your 11 letters you mentioned the other day. Okay?
Yes, sir.
After they do stall time. But I want you to get my number.
All right, so hold on now. Hold on. I'm going to let the producer be able to take your number. The producer's going to take your number right now and we can be able to do that. Let me take this last telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Howard.
Hey.
Good afternoon.
What's happening?
The plane land. You know anything about Flight 374?
Flight 374. I didn't know about Flight 348. That's 8 miles off. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, congratulations to my classmate, Belinda
yes.
Johnson Wilson.
Yes,
you
CNN.
Know, she's a stellar lady, CNN. And I was proud of her from she used to go to school with me. You know what I mean? So, Belinda, you continue to do well, and we are here rooting for you. Man.
Thank you.
We are here rooting for you. Okay.
Thank you, my brother. I do appreciate your telephone call. Thank you for these things. It says, good day, Mr. Grant. Can you ask Ms. Wilson, a few years ago, a conversation was being held by her and the Ministry of Education about subjects on those trans and sexuals and those other things, other types of such, was being pushed by the Biden, Biden and co. Since Trump is in power now and that the conversation is continuing, or has it ceased as Trump has put a stop to these particular things. Talk to me about that.
I don't know. He's talking about Biden and all that. I live in the Bahamas. But anyway, we really ain't talking about that today.
I like it, Belinda.
Yeah, I don't want to go left.
No, don't go left.
Y'all in, go pray. Have a great day.
Go pray? Yeah. I like it, Belinda. So, Ms. Wilson needs to run for prime minister of the country, well-spoken,
and she needs to start a party now. But then there's a lot of agitation for these particular things. I don't know, Bahamian people like politics, but they really like people fighting on behalf of their rights. And I think that this is what you've been doing over the consecutive times that you've been able to win in this capacity, being able to identify the rights of Bahamians, not viewing them as political pawns and tools, but really understanding the need to being able to get them to a higher plane and higher space.
I can't even explain it, but like, I don't like people's advantage to be taken. And so it's something riles up in me to speak out for those who are unable to speak out for themselves.
That's excellent, Belinda. And we want to encourage you to continue to do that. I can read this text. It's a text coming through. How can the BPR president be all over the place promoting Minister Kobe Davis, and he have yet to be spoken, he have yet to speak to the union members concerning privatization? When will he hold a general meeting with the members concerning those matters? I sure, Belinda, can't answer people's questions.
Yeah, the BPL is not under my Congress. I wish he was. Then I'll be able to really give him some guidance. But good guy. He's young in the business.
I like this, Belinda. You're very diplomatic in your approach. Hey, Belinda, Anton wants to know, who are they calling and say, boy, Howard, I wish I was a part of Belinda's union. Right, this is people, they won't be a part of your union.
Come on, we need some more members.
Come on, Belinda said, come on, right? So it looks like to me the government is trying to adjust for the issues that they're having with cash flow. The 2 weeks is a lifetime. Now, we could speculate. Now I just take a pause right there. We could speculate, like Belinda said, that she put 26 questions to the government from December 19, 2023, and she hasn't gotten any answers. So all of us are speculating as to why the government is taking on this particular position. So it says 2 weeks is a lifetime. If they pay bi-monthly each payday, bills requires less money and gives time to find money for the next 2 weeks from somewhere. This is a text is coming through. All right, Belinda, so these are some of the things that the people are, they're committed to these things. They like what you're saying. Talk it. I want you to be able to wrap this up and some of the things that the BUT is doing and what our expectations to see from you in terms of your agitation and things to be able to happen over the course of the next few months, weeks, or whatever.
Yeah, well, definitely I want to say that we will continue, not only as the president of the Bahamas Union of Teachers. In fact, my election is June the 10th, Tuesday, June the 10th, 2025. And this will be my last run. After that, I'm going to retire and enjoy some more.
I should say the same thing, but we ain't believe him either.
I'm going to retire. Trust me, I'm going to retire. Yeah, but even with our Congress, we are still in discussions with other unions and associations because we want to try to build the Congress and make it stronger because we have hundreds of thousands of workers that are depending on what it is that we do, even if they're not in the union. We set the stage actually for them to follow, because a lot of times when we negotiate, then that gives their employer a tool or instrument to use for them to be able to say, okay, we can use this as a benchmark. So we will continue to agitate. What we really want, though, is for the governments to know that unions, we have a responsibility. We have our members. We have to be accountable to them. We have our duties to do. And if you do see us as a stakeholder and an important part of what you do, then you must treat us as such. And meetings, discussions, that's a part of social dialogue. So it must happen. And if you want buy-in, I always say this to the Ministry of Education. You sell something to us, it is so easy for us to sell to our members. But try to circumvent, when you try to bypass us, when you ignore us, then we say to our members, ignore them. And then you have adverse situations. So I just want to say to the Prime Minister, and like I told you, Mr. PM, do not send a boy to do a man's work. So I'm really waiting to speak to you, sir, to you. The buck stops with you. All those outstanding matters which I've listed, I'm still awaiting responses for those. And you know what I want to also say, too? the prime minister, the minister of education, the permanent secretary, the director, whomever, they cannot show you one letter that I've written for a personal benefit for me. What I'm writing to you for is on behalf of my members. So confirmation letters, employment letters, back pay, promotions, rent, they are things for my members, not for me.
You ain't never done for you.
No, not for me.
Yeah.
Not for me. So I'm asking them to let's meet, let's discuss what you're able to correct, say. What you have an issue I'm dealing with, say that. So I just want to say thank you to all the members of the Bombers Union of Teachers from Grand Bahama to Inagua and my executive committee. I say thank you all so much and solidarity forever.
Belinda, before you get out of here, I want to be able to say something to you. I just listened to your sort of monologue as we get out of here that actually spoke to the fact that if the government sees you in a particular manner, that they should utilize you with that kind of respect. I just surmised what you said. But I thought about, the first thing that my mind thought went to was how there was a calculated, in my view, there was a calculated effort to diminish the union's power even way back from Randall Fox. And it has continued over the generations. And there's been a quiet expectation for this revival. There's been a quiet expectation for this revival. And I think that that's why a lot of people champion what you do and they stand behind you, because they need their voices, their passions, their determinations, the dreams that they have to flourish and come to the forefront.
I wish I was in the labor movement around Randall Fox was there.
How? You would have burned down the whole country. We happy you was in the, you're good, praise Jesus. You're good right here. Don't burn nothing else down. But I want to talk about these things, and I think that you and I should have a further conversation about the possibility of sitting with us every other Tuesday. You and Kimsley or whoever, y'all can come down and talk about union issues every other Tuesday with me. I'd love that if you would be able to have me.
We'll have a discussion.
I'd love to be able to do that. Guys, that's the show today, man. I want to thank you so much. Tomorrow we're going to have a panel discussion to talk about national issues and where we are. Had a great conversation with Belinda Wilson today. I'm going to see you tomorrow right here on The Foundation. Have a beautiful day, guys. See you tomorrow. Godspeed.